It's really that. It's control. I drop everything that I don't have control with. So if I'm doing something that I feel like I have zero control with and I cannot live and die with my decisions, no thank you.
Welcome to another episode of Mishconceptions. Today's topic is super close to my heart because I love to hustle. We see other people doing a lot of things at the same time, balancing a lot of things, doing their passion, and trying to get more income streams. But when does the hustle become a hassle for us? And we'll discuss that in this episode. Today, I am in the presence of the CEO of Podcast Network Asia, Mr. Ron Baekyong, and also he's the host of his very own podcast called Hustle Share. So very apt for today's topic. So thank you so much, Ron, for being here this afternoon.
Thank you, Mish. And again, I'm a very, very big fan of yours as well. I've always been on the lookout of all the podcasts, and you've been doing really well and great job for glowing Mishconceptions. I actually thought that Mishconception was your last name, but I'm an idiot. So please don't pay attention to what I'm saying.
No, you're not the first person who told me that. If anything, okay. Like a lot of people have been asking, oh, say, so what's your surname? Because sometimes I just name myself Mish in other like engagement. I just don't use the entire name. So there are people who actually thought my surname is Conception.
There you go.
Thank you so much. I'm really flattered hearing those words from you. I'm so excited for our topic today because I listened to a lot of your episode and it's now my turn to ask you, Ron, what is your hustle?
Wow. Thank you. It's always awkward hearing that because I don't know how many times I've said that. But my hustle is to pay it forward. That's always, if you think of it now, a lot of what I do is aimed towards helping other people achieve what the hell they want to do. So if I define that, I'm technically right smack in the middle of two industries. So my day hat, I would say, and my community for the last 10, 11 years now has been the startup community in the Philippines anyway. So I'm a 3-time startup founder. My first startup failed. Second startup got acquired. My third one obviously is P&A. And my job there is to pay it forward to aspiring entrepreneurs who want to become successful in their startup. And what I do in paying it forward, aside from me blabbing every week, is to interview other startup founders that I feel would be able to help define what it takes to be successful and what their mistakes are. Now, the other community that I pay it forward for is the newest one that I've had is the podcasting community. So the same mantra of me trying to pay it forward to startup founders, I try to pay it forward with podcasters. Because when I started out with my own podcast, Hustle Share, again, trying to help out startups, I noticed that there is a big gaping hole over how this community can thrive. And I saw a lot of parallels over how startups were and podcasts were, right? You need a lot of grassroots support. You need a lot of, heavy lifting up front. And that's what I do. I do my best to help podcasts, level up their shows. And ultimately, through our platform, of course, Podmetrics, we want everybody to eat, right? We always say that, if you want to make a community turn into an industry, everybody's got to eat.
Agree. And it's really amazing what you're doing for the podcast industry here in the Philippines, especially I think we are not at the golden era yet, right? There's still more room to grow for this industry. And it's really nice that, you're seeing a lot of traction in this industry now that we're in the pandemic. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, a lot of people are hustling a lot. And before I just, looking at my friends, looking at myself, looking at how my other colleagues are doing, typically they're not just doing one job. Most of the time, they have other things that they do because they have passion projects they want to pursue or they want to earn the side, right? Because sometimes our earnings are not enough, right? Mm. So apart from that, why do you think people hustle a lot? And why do you think like it's such an in thing now? I don't see it before.
No, I think first of all, you're surrounded with the right people, because it's not common, at least in my side of town before, to see a lot of people hustling, right? And because most people, again, it's not zero sum per se. It's not totally binary that you either hustle or you don't. There's always a degree. And I think the main common denominator between those two is always time, right? Everybody gets the same amount of time every day, 24 hours. It's up to you really how you want to spend that. Either some people are going to clock in 9 to 5, get things done, and then live another life that had no hustling per se and just enjoy the rest. Or people are more driven and they want more and they're willing to sacrifice to get more in life. And I think that's what it is. It's a question of why, right? Because the why eventually turns into that output. And that why basically indicates what type of priority you have. So I'm not saying one is wrong versus the other, but again, us being in the spectrum leaning towards people that want more, their why is different. We're wired differently as well. So people hustle, in my opinion, because they are not satisfied yet. And I think that's not common, because there's a big misconception, pun intended, as a society, at least here in the Philippines, right? People are taught to just, hey, work hard, abide by the rules, be obedient, 9 to 5, do well, go home, routine in and out. At least in the Phil Chai community, being able to, you know, see and hear stories in the Phil Chai, you want to do more, be good with your finances.
So true.
And whatnot. So if you want to achieve something, you work for it. That's how the Phil Chai community raise their kids, how they educate outside of school. And that's why I guess this norm of doing extra work, hustle more towards what their why is, and again, towards what they want.
That's really nice. No, actually, you're right. Because when we were younger, any summer break that we have goes to taking care of the business, doing more work. It's never just break. That's really something that, you know, we were used to growing up. And it's like, I like the fact that you said that, you know, it just so happens we're in the right side or in the better side of the spectrum, where we see a lot of people doing more side hustles or hustling. But it doesn't really mean like for other people who's not doing this, like they're wrong or something, but they're just, I guess, fulfilled with what they have in life at that point in time, right? But for us, you know, trying to balance and juggling a lot of things, how do you keep a side hustle in your day job? Like what are your like usual tips based on the people you've met before? How do you effectively balance those things?
Okay, that's a great question. The balance really, and I'll just circle back also with how people and why people side hustle. A lot of it is exposure, right? This is education being done. Like for me, after hearing all these things that were said by at least the Phil Chai way of raising kids, that's a playbook. If I do ever have kids in the future, that's how I would do it as well. You know, I don't care what you're doing, you're freaking help out. You make podcasts with me. Okay. You edit my show. I don't care if you're 5 years old. There you go. Going back to how you balance that out, I think number one, before you even define what a side hustle is, you start very early. You need to balance that out, because side hustling originates, in my opinion, the ones that really thrive at it, originates at a very early age. You know, it's taught in school, and it's all ingrained within self-discipline, right? So perfect example in school, you know, there's the normal path, 9 to 5, mm-hmm. whatever thing. And then there's the extracurricular activities. Correct, you go varsity, you go join a club, whatever, right? A typical student who will probably have struggles doing side hustles never had anything outside of what's done in the 9 to 5. Like for me, I was varsity in high school. So I knew I had two jobs. I was a student athlete. So I was a student in the morning. I was athlete at night. So that thing was ingrained with me at the same time. And what I developed there is discipline. And inside hustling, the way you balance first things out is, of course, being able to control the one thing that's most scarce across everybody else, which is time. Everybody's given 24 hours. It's what you do with it, right? Again, you have your main responsibility. What do you do with your extra hours? Now, in that discipline that you build, really, why people struggle to have that balance is because it's not a habit that's formed. I'm not saying it's not possible.
Yeah.
But you get a head start if you already had that ability before balancing something outside of your normal responsibilities, right? Now, the balance also, for me, at least in my opinion, when I started side hustling, because I really started Hustle Share and I'm running a business, right? A startup, is the side hustles typically tend to be passion projects. It starts as that always.
Correct. Yes.
And it doesn't have to be monetary in nature. It would be great if it's monetary in nature, right? And me being the greedy fuck that I am, right? I want to make money because I know, again, I have a finite amount of time and I want to make sure that whatever I do invest time in incentivizes me to keep doing what I'm doing. And that's where the balance comes in. And that's why I always say podcasting is a business, right? Because someone should incentivize you to keep going. Because if it's just a passion project, eventually you'll hit a wall. And then when you ask, why should I still do this? And if you don't have enough push to get that done, and there's no incentive, there's no carrot to keep going, most people stop, especially if they don't have that self-discipline to keep going.
Agree. I actually do agree. I actually joke a lot with my friends that I try my best to fit 48 hours in 24. And that's really a talent I've been trying to do because I try to do a lot of things at the same time.
That's why you're wannabe sure. I am. Try to alter time.
How I wish I can. But yeah, I mean, balance is really important. And I guess with that, going back from what we've discussed, you know, the whole upbringing, how it was already a habit for me. That's why it's easier for me to balance all these things at the same time. My other question would be, how do you not let your side hustle affect your day job? Because like what you said, these side hustles typically starts as a passion project. You may not earn from it, but you have a day job that you have to keep for you to earn money from, right? And to feed you and to support you. Yeah.
Okay. So for me, I think it's still, again, stems at self-discipline, right? I will come clean and I'll say that I didn't do well in this because majority of the time, my side hustle becomes my main hustle. I end up losing whatever I was typically doing and doing this. Like, for example, I transitioned now from chatbots to podcast. Now this is my thing. So I'm not that guy. The only thing that I've committed to that I've ever stuck with is my family and my fiance. You know, I will not side hustle her at all. You know, I don't want to die like that. But, you know, it's really being able to find out. And here's a tricky thing about side hustles. Because the majority of the time, since it's passion projects, right?
Yeah.
You tend to fall in love with that more.
Because it's a thing you love to do.
Right? It's inevitable, right? Now, at the end of the day, the financials will come, right? So typically, the 9-to-5 is there to pay your bills, keep you afloat. Their side hustle should be enough to make you rich. Or again, get you what you want. Right. But there comes an inflection point where, wow, my side hustle is doing so much. And there's an incentive because you love doing it. Why shouldn't you? What I always say is that don't jump the gun. I did that with my startup before. I was like, I'll go all in. Worst mistake, I was broke for 3-4 years. Like, my God, I should have kept myself afloat because if you made your side hustle your main hustle, also, the risk you take, if it's not ready to sustain you, you'll make bad deals and you're going to make desperate deals that eventually will hurt you as well. You'll take, if for example, someone would exploit you. You're broke, right? Okay, I'll just get you for this. Mm. Whatever. And then you start saying yes to those things, right? And there's a small window in life, probably in your early 20s, mid-20s, that you can afford to do that. And as you progress in life, say you're married, you have kids, and you have dependents, it's hard to say yes without a stable income at all, right? The side hustle would eventually get there. Right? So, dude, that's why it just so happens that I created another startup out of this.
Yeah.
This podcasting thing that I'm doing. But, you know, I do the Pareto principle, 80-20 rule. The 20% that I put my best effort for should account for the 80% of what output I get. And then the rest, I just spread it evenly. Just so happens that I'm lucky because what my side hustle is also technically now my main hustle. But again, that's the risk. If you do it too much and you do too well, you risk the point where, oh God, this will be my main hustle now.
Yeah. I mean, congratulations on that. I mean, how many people could actually do that, right? And say, this can now be my main hustle. But for other people, like, for example, doing a lot of things, you know, like myself, I'm doing a lot of things and most of them don't really generate income. I'm not as smart as you yet to think like whatever time I invest my time on would generate income. But it's really out of passion for me to just like do all these things, including this podcast, for example. But there are times like I really do get burned out because I'm trying to do my day job. I'm trying to do other things at the side. And I'm sure this is a common scenario for people who is balancing a lot at the same time. Now, the question is, for you, when does the hustle now becomes a hassle, right? When does our side hustle becomes a side hassle for us?
Okay. So for me, there's this one article that I found. I've always had an impact with me for the longest time. And I found this around when I was in my mid-20s, early 20s. I always said that, you know, there are five things that matter in your adult life, right? Work, sleep, family, fitness, or friends. You have to pick three, right? Now, my answer before was totally different than my answer now. Because it's a phase thing. And it also, again, depending on what your priorities are. Before, when I was younger, my top three would be work, family, and sleep, right? I disregarded fitness was at the lowest. That's why I grew fat like a guy, like a thing. But that's when I chose those three, it wasn't a hassle because I prioritized that. I knew that my stamina can keep going. And regardless of how difficult it is, since I loved it, I loved the pain because I was thriving in it.
Yeah.
It becomes a hassle when you're saying you're forced to work and work wasn't in your top three. Let's just say. Right. Because there will come a time, if you ask me now, I'd probably choose work, family, fitness, sleep, friends. So sorry, friends. You're in the pandemic. That's we have podcasts. They are our friends, right? So that's my priority now, right? Good luck, sleep. That's why I have my eyebrows are terrible. But eventually, the work will not be my priority anymore. That's, I think, when it becomes a hassle, where your heart is no longer belonging in your priorities. Because most, at least hustlers or people that side hustle, again, you won't do it if you're not incentive, if you don't love it anyway. Even if not making, say, big progress, but since you love it, you keep doing it. It becomes a hassle when you're forced to do something outside of your priority. Okay. Then it becomes a hassle. Imagine if your top three would be, say, family, friends, sleep, and work is at the bottom. Then that would be it will be a hassle because you're no longer voluntarily prioritizing work to in your top three.
Agree. Actually, I can relate. If you asked me before, my top three would have been work, family, and fitness. I'm sorry, sleep and friends also. But now,
exactly.
So my sleep is obviously compromised, trying to fit 48 hours and 24. But yes. Now, if you ask me, it's now work, sleep, and family. So good luck na lang sa fitness in this pandemic. But you know what?
Correct.
I prefer sleep over fitness at this point. But yeah, I agree. Correct.
Before, I preferred fitness over sleep. I know. Sleep over fitness, and I grew to 230 pounds. My goodness. Right? I was obese. And again, I felt it. And then I had an inflection point. I realized that, man, I can't keep working if my body can't allow me to keep working. So I had to bump something up, right? I had to invest in myself because I'm not getting any younger.
Right.
If I really want to do this for a longer time and I love working, I have to invest in my body because this is the vessel that allows me to do great work. Yeah. So those things, again, it's a phase thing. We will have different answers in different phases of our time. But it's always those five things, the entrepreneur's dilemma.
Focusing on the work, you know, work side of things. we mentioned that, you know, if work is not in your top three, then that's where the hassle comes in. You feel right. like it's such a, you're dragging yourself to work, you're just doing this just to feed you, and you have to, not because you want to do it. But let's just focus on, like, say, that work aspect, and let's assume there are, like, different work that you have in that bucket. And okay. let's just say there are certain work that you actually like doing, and there are certain work that you don't like doing. And sometimes you start doing your side hustle because you love it. And eventually, hopefully, you start earning from it. But let's just say at some point in time, hindi mo na siya gusto. It doesn't give you the same joy as much as before. How do you decide which one you drop, which one you keep, assuming you have many?
Okay. So for me, I come from a background that I am the breadwinner. So my priority always is to provide. My needs come last. And there's a specific lifestyle that I have to maintain because we came from really rough beginnings. And I always said that whatever it takes, I don't want to come back. So it's being able to provide that. So whatever avenue that allows me to maintain that lifestyle of comfort, at least, that's what I would choose. Now, the question is, am I having fun? Right? I want to do it, maintain that lifestyle, and still have fun because I'm the worst employee. My longest tenure of employment was 11 months. So this is it. I'd have to do it my way. That's the curse of being an entrepreneur, right? Now, picking what I love to do, again, very biased towards being an entrepreneur. But what I really enjoy keeping, doesn't really matter what it is. But as an entrepreneur, the incentive I value the most is control. Being able to live and die with your own decisions. Because the last thing I wanted to do as an entrepreneur is like, man, I could have done this, but I didn't have the power to wield the sword because bureaucracy, because boss said so. No, but the risk is so immense because the buck stops with me. If I make bad calls, aside from the lifestyle that I'm trying to do, I also have a team and their families that rely on me. So I have to make really valuable decisions or responsible decisions to not just sustain that lifestyle that I was talking about, but also make sure that whatever hard work my team does for the podcasting community and whatnot is sustainable for a very prolonged period of time, right? And also the investors. They invested so much money. I don't want to kill myself and like, what the hell? I've already tasted the bitter pill of failure, of extreme failure. And that's what keeps me going. If I feel that we're not in the right path, I go crazy all the time, like, I need to do something. I need to do something, right? Because that fear and also being able to taste failure before, that's what keeps me going. Now, what I drop, and this is what I learned also, because I lost my business, right?
Yeah.
I say no to a lot of things. Actually, you're the only one who said yes. I said yes to, in terms of podcast. There's a lot of podcasts who's wanting to guest me.
Thank you.
But since this is a business podcast and also just about, you know, being responsible, and I felt like this is a natural thing for me to do. I'm sorry if you're listening to this, if you're trying to do, you have to have the charm of Mish.
Thank you so much.
That's true. It's really that. It's control. I drop everything that I don't have control with. And that's what my mom always taught me. Always be in control. So if I'm doing something that I feel like I have zero control with and I cannot live and die with my decisions, no thank you.
That's really nice. I think a lot of the problem right now, and I'm guilty of this, is I don't know when to say no. I'm working on that, but I tend to be the one who don't want to disappoint other people when they ask for help. So whenever they ask for other things or they want new things for me to help on, I typically just say yes to the point that, you know, it multiplies the things I have to do. So saying no, learning when to say no and not to stretch yourself too thin is really something I need to work on, and other people should also work on if they're also experiencing the same thing. And another thing, I guess, especially on the side hustle and the things that we do right now, the things that we typically forget is the opportunity cost of things and the sunk cost also. Like I've invested so much time on it. I've already put in a lot of money, time, effort. I've done so many things, but it's not working, right? But there's so much effort into it and I cannot stop. And typically that's where we get, we fail more, right? Because we don't push the stop button.
And it doesn't have to be a hard stop. It can be just a pause. Sometimes the best way to move forward is take one step back. And I always use this quote by Albert Einstein that insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results, right? So sometimes you hit that wall and you can't quite figure it out because you keep doing that same shit, right? So for me, it's really being able, if, once I hit that wall, and a lot of self-mastery comes to this, Mish, like knowing what you really like and what you're strong at. And what do you want to say yes and no to?
Yeah.
Again, going back to the five priorities, right? If I'm going to say yes to this, at what cost will I get? Will this then compromise my fitness? Is this my limited time of sleep that you're going to compromise? Where, which bucket am I getting from? Right? So I have to be very particular about that. Because if I get from that, again, the opportunity cost comes in. And I look at myself like, oh my God, I'm doing things that I don't like doing. Right. So for me, if my main hustle is paying it forward, I should only focus on paying it forward. I'm not here to please anyone. I'm not here to, you know, if you don't like what I'm doing, fine. Yeah, I can live with that. Right. But my job is to pay it forward to help people achieve their dreams as well. And if I can be that bridge, I'd do whatever it takes. But there's a limit because if I go all out too and I say yes to everything, then I'm not doing myself a favor. I'll get burned out. And the next thing I know, I help so many people at the expense of my demise.
I agree.
So I can do that too. So balance.
Balance and removing the hassle part of the hustle. I mean, I like what you said about the whole failed businesses, and it's nice that you were able to share, you know, that backstory. I guess just for people who are listening and who are dealing with all these things, not knowing when to put that pause button or the stop button, how do you deal with failure and how do you rise up from it?
Okay, so Rise Up by Janina Chan is part of Podcast Network Asia. So go ahead and listen to that. And Chinoy TV, shout out to you.
Love it.
But the way you, failure, just like success, it's also relative. People have different ways to cope with it. But when I failed after my first startup, and again, I had, I could have just stopped, but the fear of not being able to pay the bills kept me going. Yeah. I had nothing, no inheritance, nothing. My mom was, you know, going near into retirement. And I was this 26, 27-year-old guy. I can't rely on her for that anymore. I had to step up. And out of necessity, I could have licked my wounds. But again, I asked myself, yes, I could have gone to corporate. But what value do I give another company if the things that I put a paramount importance on is being able to call my own shots. So my only option back then was really becoming an entrepreneur. But I vowed that I'm not going to make the same mistake. That's why I created a blog about this. So I'll just put it on the show notes. I'll give you the link of the things that I learned. Hindsight being 2020, I actually wrote that for myself to remind myself that, hey, Ron, this is where you messed up on. Don't do it again. Right. If people saw value on it, then great. Right. So now that failure, I don't like losing. I'm a sore loser, to be honest with you. So if I take the bitter taste of defeat, I know it's not finite, just like success. You're only as good as your last performance. Right. So if you mess up in your last, do better, make bawi until you still have that time to make bawi. But if you're successful, yeah, you might be successful now, but you still need to be able to maintain that excellence for you to really become, to get that feeling of success because it's addictive. So you have to keep going. And yeah, for me, I just didn't want to have a bookend over my story. And I said, yeah, I'm going to try my best not to repeat the same mistake. And again, plow through whatever it takes. And the thing with failure too, you always have to remember that when you fail, you're rock bottom, yes, but you have nothing to lose because you've already lost it. So every single progress after that is something good because you hit rock bottom. But you have a special tool now, which is a book of failures that allow you to become more successful and you know, shorten the learning curve wherever you need to do.
That's a really nice advice. I mean, I really hope that people take notes on this episode because there's really a lot of insights that you've shared so far. I'm really thankful, Ron, for those things. I think my second to the last question, specifically on the side hustle and hassle thing, how do you manage your side hustle without burning out?
Rest is important. And it depends on which phase of your life you're in. Early 20s, you only need that probably overnight and you can do keep doing it. But as you progress in life, you know, you can only go 100 miles per hour for a long time. So for me, being able to do it in spurts, you know, that you do your best work best uninterrupted work in spurts to get that best output as fast as you can is important. And having that moment of Zen to really reflect back, be grateful, look at what you done work, what you did well and what you didn't do well is important. And the most important thing, at least to avoid burning out, is get feedback. Feedback from people that you value input from. Right? That's why you need to surround yourself with the right people as well. Because if you are on an island, right, it's tough to keep pursuing because inevitably you're going to need help. Right? Nobody gets on top alone. You need help. You'd be surprised how many people are willing to help you if you just ask. Now, a lot of people ask for favors right away. But what people always forget is that you're actually going to ask a favor sometimes just by asking for feedback, getting somebody else's perspective. So you can simmer that in. Again, take one step back before you plow through again.
I agree. Yeah, those are really insightful comments that you've shared and also the tips on how, you know, to rest, to choose your priorities, learning when to say no. Any final tips before we end the episode?
Enjoy it. Everything's finite, right? Side hustles, typically, like what I said, feed your soul, right? So enjoy it. Whatever it takes to keep doing what it is. And again, find a way to incentivize yourself to keep doing it, right? Find a way to monetize it. Because the best feeling in the world is when you're doing something you love and you make money out of it, it's never work. It's never going to be treated as work because you feel like you're just playing. Like for me, I take the utmost joy that I get to freaking talk because I will talk for free anyway. And now I have a startup that empowers people to keep talking the same way I want to talk and also make money out of it. That's match made in heaven for me. So I want to help more people keep doing this for a very, 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 very long time.
And I admire you for that.
I think actually, Mish, this is my calling.
I know. It's so nice.
I'd have to say. I can see myself doing this for till I can barely talk already.
I know. I mean, that's actually what I got from you, or what I felt like listening to your podcast, listening to you talk to other people, even in Clubhouse, right? I really felt like you're so passionate about what you're doing to the point that I did feel that you found your calling, right? Like you can fully say this is really what you want to do. For me, I'm still in that balancing both profession and passion part. For the longest time, just to share, I have been struggling in my earlier parts of my working career when I graduated, whether I wanted to pursue my profession because that was more on finance side. I have a marketing bone in my body. So most of the time, that's still there, you know, asking me, how do I express this? How do I do this? That's when I started doing like other things like planning strategies and all these things, podcasting, doing content creation, producing content. That's where I let that marketing bone out, right? So that side of me is out there as a passion. And throughout the years, I think I've learned to realize that I can do passion and profession at the same time. It's not always a passion versus profession for me. I am at that point where I realize my passion and my profession could be two different things. Where I'm earning most of my money from my career, from my profession is one thing. And what I love doing is also another thing. And I was completely fine with that. To the point I actually learned to love and become passionate about my profession. So I guess that's where I am right now. And it's really nice to hear from you, like talking about, you know, finding your calling and doing all these things and paying it forward. My last question, right, because this is a misconception podcast, Ron, what is a common misconception about you?
Yes. Ah, wow. That's a big question.
I didn't brief you about this. I'm sorry.
The biggest misconception. No worries, no worries. The biggest misconception that I always get is that I wasn't born and raised here.
Mm.
Dude, I'm as street as people think I'm an Amboy. Nah, I grew up in Quezon City. Kamuning is my neighborhood. I grew up playing basketball with construction workers, with tricycle drivers. Those are my peeps. And the biggest misconception I get is that, you know, I'm alta. Dude, I came from the bottom, literally. And you can see it. I mean, just when you just look at the optics, you can see it. But it's fine. It's okay. I embrace myself with that. But I always get that misconception because, yeah, so how I talk. And this was self-taught as well. I learned this in the call center industry because I felt like the way I normally talk will never get me where I need to be. Imagine me talking in my Tagalog as worse than Kong TV. That's how I sound. And I also cuss a lot in Tagalog. So my high school friends know this. It's just not gonna... I had to reinvent myself or create another version that is more professionally adept so that I can deliver and command respect. Because if I didn't, I'm never even going to get a scratch the surface of what I was able to do until I mastered English the way I talk about it now.
I'm guilty of that, actually. I thought you were raised elsewhere until I listened to your episode with Joyce. And you started talking about this whole,
yes,
teaching yourself how to speak like that. But I mean, amazing, really. And thank you so much again for your time today this afternoon, Ron. And I really appreciate all the insights and all the things that you've shared to me and to my listeners.
No worries. Sure. Because you're now part of Podcast Network Asia. There you go.
Thank you so much.
That's it for today's episode of Misconceptions. If you enjoyed it, please share this online and with your friends. Don't forget to like our Facebook page, Misconceptions Podcast, and do follow us on Instagram at Misconceptions. See you in the next episode.